Teams have reached out. We've had, say, three teams that have touched base with us, and we'll see where that grows. I think it will continue to grow. Once you get through your own free agency evaluations, you have a real better, a much better understanding about the draft process coming out of the combine, just from a physical, a mental, a health standard that we try to gather when we're there. And I think teams come away saying, okay, maybe this receiver draft isn't what we thought it was, or maybe it's stronger. You know, it could go that way too, and we understand that. But right now, the one thing that doesn't change is Antonio Brown and his value as a football player, not only to us, but what he could do for somebody else.
93.7 The Fan time is 4:05. It's brought to you by Archie's on the South Side, the official chicken wing of The Fan. Kevin Colbert on NFL Network today says three teams have called the Steelers about Antonio Brown. Let's try to figure out who those three teams are. With John Clayton, we've got the Combine coming up in Indy, then free agency and the draft after that. So, John, right now, to hear Kevin Colbert say the Steelers have heard from three teams, does that sound to you like three teams right now? Does that sound like there's a big market for Brown, moderate market, small market? What do you make of those comments?
I think it's a decent market. Now, obviously, it's going to shrink because four teams are eliminated from consideration. You know, three teams in the AFC North and the New England Patriots. And I think there's going to be a preference to try to get them to an NFC team. But this is me just guessing, not knowing. But my guess, the first three teams are San Francisco, Green Bay, and the Oakland Raiders. Those, I think, are the first three. And then I'm, you know, start to figure out which additional teams. If, and again, they may not be the three, but I think those are probably the front three that I would think of right now. And the more I think of Green Bay, it makes a lot of sense because now you've got a coaching change. You've got, you know, Randall Cobb is a free agent and a little bit older. You know, they had to finish the season with a young group of wide receivers. I mean, they had to be one of the youngest, you know, other than, and so they had Devontae Adams and a bunch of rookies. And so to appease, you know, a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, I could see his deal. The thing that I'm trying to rationalize is what's their cutoff price? Is it a second? Is it a third? You know, don't you think, I mean, obviously they're going to be asking for a first and a second, but is the cutoff being a second-round pick that they won't go lower than that, and if that's the case, they keep them?
John, we've been discussing that pretty much since the incident happened, and I think what Kevin Colbert said earlier this week about if the offer isn't what we want it to be, you know, we're not going to slam the door shut on AB coming back, I think that's just GM speak. I think whatever the best offer is, whatever their expiration date or deadline date is on a trade, it might be around the draft, it might be once free agency starts, I think they'll take the best offer. And if the best offer is a third-round pick, I do think they'll trade him for a third.
Yeah, but I'll give you an example of one where a general manager held to his guns, and that was John Snyder of the Seahawks. Earl Thomas, you know, had his own problem. Because remember, Earl was the one after the Dallas game on Christmas Eve in 2017 that ran over to Jason Garrett in the locker room and said,
yep,
come get me.
Yeah, I remember
and,
that.
And, you know, said he was going to hold out. He did indeed hold out. And they held to their guns that they weren't going to take anything less than a second-round pick. And they never got the second-round offer. I'm sure they got the third-round offer. So there's one example. And that's what I'm wondering. Is Kevin in the same consideration where he's going to take nothing less than a two, nothing less than a one? I mean, clearly he's not going to be rooting to get just a third-round pick. But, you know, I'm trying to figure out that cutoff, and I have to think it's a second.
John, do you see any way if he doesn't get up to that cutoff how this could be workable whatsoever with Antonio Brown back on the Steelers next year?
Well, I'm having witnessed it up close and personal with Earl Thomas, because you figure then that Antonio is going to hold out and hold out to the start of training camp, at the start of the regular season, just like Earl Thomas did. And then it's a matter, do you start losing game checks or not losing game checks? And that has to be his decision.
So we'd have the same headache as last year with Le'Veon all over again, John.
That is correct. That is correct. And again, it's like, it's that I know that, you know, Art Rooney went down there and both decided it's time to move on. But then, you know, Kevin came in, you know, with an idea that there's a price that we're not going to go probably below. I don't know that price. And you can see it, but there's history there, at least in the last year, of a team that went through something similar. And again, you don't want this to happen for a second straight year for the Steelers. I mean, because it's an absolute mess, but also you have to think of the best value you can for the franchise.
John, do they get the best value possible if they pay the man $2.5 million when he's due the money, Antonio Brown that is, and then try to make this deal close to the draft when teams are maybe, or at draft day when teams are thinking about things in a different way and looking at picks and saying, are we really going to get value more than AB for this pick, et cetera?
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at the first deadline, which is the 17th, and say, okay, where do we stand? Can we get it a little bit better or not? And then you make the decision whether to trade them at that stage. But if the offer is too low, I think that you pay the $2.5 million. Now, they'll have a better idea about that next week when the cap comes out, you know, because they'll finalize the cap number next week. And so let's say, because, you know, everybody is going under the idea it's going to be $190 million, okay? I think there's a chance, because I was told, like week 12, that it could be 192. So if there's extra $2 million of cap room, you know, that still may play into the equation. Not that they want to pay the money and not get anything in return, but take a little bit more of a cap hit. And so, and also, it's still not out of the question that they could go to Drew Rosenhaus and say, listen, we're still working on this trade, move back the deadline. So I think that's a flexible thing. And if the cap goes to 192, then, of course, it's not as bad because at least there's $2 million of cap room there. Not that you want to pay $2.5 for nothing, but that's all. I think that's negotiable.
We're talking with John Clayton here on 93.7 The Fan. John, were you surprised that the Steelers let Le'Veon Bell walk?
No, because it just seemed to be too complicated. In the sense that what they'd be trying to do is put a transition tag that could be challenged by the union, and then trying to get a third round pick in return, where they're going to get a third round compensatory next year. So it's like it was a consideration, but again, it wasn't a consideration to keep them because I think that they realize the relationship is not good. And then of course now the story's come out. I don't know how valid it is. I mean, you have to figure he's probably a little bit heavier. 35 pounds heavier. In some ways, that could hurt more than can help. It's going to hurt Le'Veon so much more, but you want to get as much as you can for the third round compensatory for next year. So if it comes in under $10 million, then it becomes a fourth round compensatory. So, yeah, I think that the wise thing was just to move on.
John, he clarified what he said yesterday. Today on NFL Network did Kevin Colbert. What was your initial reaction to the Ben and 52 kids line from Colbert to describe
the
team?
Yeah, the 52 kids, that one didn't go over well. I mean, again, it was controversial enough to say that Ben should be allowed to, if he wants to call out a player because he's the one guy that's been to the Super Bowl and has won Super Bowls, he's the one guy that can say that. That's, you know, a little tough, but didn't probably go over as well. But the 52 kids did not go over, I think, very well.
John, do you think that teams that win have special rules for special players, or is the New England method of holding everybody to the same standard the best way to do it? What's your expertise and experience tell you?
No, experience tells me that there's still going to be exceptions, and that's just going to be the case. I mean, for example, for how many years, until 2 years ago, they allowed Tom Brady to have his own trainer there. And, of course, does any other player have that? Well, as it turns out, I mean, he was starting to get too many of the players, and they all started to do the things that Bill did not want to do, you know, because all of a sudden now you have Guerrero there saying, hey, you shouldn't do these squats. You shouldn't do this type of lifting. That's not the case. And it became a little bit too much. But that's, you know, you've got Tom Brady. And so there's some exceptions there with some of the guys like Randy Moss and Corey Dillon and guys like that. You know, he took a hard line and didn't budge. And, of course, with Bill, I mean, you know, he's going to be as strict as you possibly can, and it's worked. But, there's exceptions. I mean, you know, some guys, like, for example, here in Seattle, some of the defensive guys thought that Russell Wilson never took criticism from Pete Carroll, and so they resented Russell, and they started to resent Pete Carroll, and so you have those type of things. But, I don't think it's, you know, bottom line straight through on 32 teams that they all hold everybody to the same standards. You know, players are different. You have different personalities, and there's going to be some exceptions.
John, do you think it's ominous at all that Mike Tomlin was not included in that little South Florida conclave with Antonio Brown and Art Rooney and Kevin Colbert, et cetera?
No, I think it's this is one that it's such an organizational thing. It should have been the owner involved and not necessarily the coach. I mean, because particularly with the fact that you got, you know, Mike being criticized by Antonio, you don't want that emotion added to it. And, of course, I mean, it took a little bit of time just to get Art the permission from Antonio to get in there. So I think that would have been too much. So, no, I don't think it's but the one thing that you wonder about is that the mission that Mike Tomlin has to do, and this is what he has to do, because, again, he's not going to get fired or anything like that, and he's not going to necessarily be on the hot seat. But his contract's up in 2 years. Mm-hmm. If he can't fix that locker room, then the chances of a renewal may not be there.
John, do you agree with the theory that some in the media and also some Steelers fans have, that it's addition by subtraction. You trade Antonio Brown and you let Le'Veon Bell go, and you start 2019 with a better team right off the bat. Do you agree with that?
I mean, it's going to be tougher because, I mean, you're giving up so much talent. I mean, look what a percentage of the offense both those guys have been, and it's not going to be the same. Talent-wise, they're not as good as they were 2 years ago. Simple as that. But also, you can recover, and again, Seattle is the example. They were eight starting players from the Pro Bowl on defense. They got down to six. You know, they let Richard Sherman go and Michael Bennett go, and yet they came back and went from 9-7 to 10-6 with a much better locker room and they weren't as talented as a team, but they still made the playoffs. So, no, I mean, you can do this. It's not easy because look at all the talent they're sacrificing. I mean, the fortunate thing is he's not a great running back, but there's a good running back there. Juju Smith-Schuster has become a very good wide receiver, and the Steelers do as good of a job as any team in football developing receivers and drafting receivers. So it's manageable, but it's not going to be as talented.
John, tell me what you think of this trade proposal from ESPN's Bill Barnwell. Antonio Brown to the desert, to the Arizona Cardinals, for Josh Rosen and Arizona's fourth-round pick, freeing the Cardinals up to draft Kyler Murray.
No, please. I mean, you know, have you ever dealt with Josh?
I have not.
Okay, so I'm on ESPN Radio with Pat Kerwin, and we have Josh on there. And what Josh was promoting was some event that he was going to be at, that he was giving away something to a worthy person, a good charity type of thing and all that stuff. And you know from doing this network stuff and everything else, I mean, you're giving all these things there, and he's like, and Josh this, and Josh this, and you're doing this. That's really a good cause and all that stuff. Tell us a little bit about it. Yes. That was the response. Yes. I mean, he's promoting this thing, and he gives a one-word answer. He's a very difficult guy to deal with, and he's coming off a bad season, and I don't know if he's going to be a big hit in the locker room. I mean, that'd be more trouble than anything else. So no Josh Rosen. I mean, you know, there's young quarterbacks that are being there in case Ben does retire in the next couple of years. You got Mason Rudolph and all that stuff. No Josh Rosen. None.
We say yes to John Clayton. We'll talk to you again next Friday. All right, John?
I'll be at the Indians. We'll talk to you then.
See ya. He'll be at the combine. That was interesting.
Wow.